If you listen closely, you may notice that Mishki takes great license with some of the details surrounding the news of the day. Listen at your own amusement. Thank you.
The Mishki Broadcast, featuring the broadcast outcast, transmitting live from his renegade radio outpost here in the final 90 feet in the city of St. Paul.
Hey. Last installment of the old Mishki broadcast here. The nighttime show I've been doing for the last 12 years. I was a kid of about 10 or 11, sitting downstairs in my brother's bedroom in the basement, watching them open up an album they had just purchased. An album called AM/FM. AM/FM. An album by a gentleman named George Carlin. And they threw it on the hi-fi and played it. We all just laid back in bed, or in a couple of cases, on the floor. I had five brothers. And we listened to the genius of this man. And I think for me, there as a kid, in the early 70s, I think that's where it started. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I had never heard anything like it. This is what I listened to.
I was a disc jockey when I was 19. I was lucky. I found a job, like, you know, when I should have been still learning about it. And it inspired Wonderful Wino and Willie West, a character of mine. Radio stations, of course, change personnel rather rapidly. Willie West is no longer at Wonderful Wino. He's been replaced by Scott Lame.
Hi, gang. Scott Lame here. The boss jock with the boss sounds from the boss list of the boss 30 that my boss told me to play. Right here on the nifty 850. Wonderful Wino Radio. Wonderful Wino. The big sound in the big town. Why no time? Bing bong. 5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock. Hey, we'll get started with one of the big sounds this week. Number five.
Number five, number five, number five, number five, number five.
Last week was number nine.
Number nine, number nine, number nine, number nine, number nine.
Moved up four spaces.
Four spaces, four spaces, four spaces, four spaces.
Here it is, one of the new supergroups. Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Sacco, and Vanzetti. And the ever-present footprints cross the shadows on the carpets of the hallways of the memories of your mind. Okay, kids, one of the big sounds and a great story behind that one. And you heard it first right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. Wino time, bing bong, 5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock. Moving along with two in a row. A big double play, back-to-back sounds for you on the Scott Lame get-together on a wonderful Wednesday. Here's a tune that's really moving fast. When I say fast, it was recorded at 9 o'clock this morning. At 12 noon, it was number 15. At 3 o'clock, was the number one sound in town. And now it's a golden oldie. Solid gold to make you feel old. Solid gold to make you feel old. A golden flashback from the summer of 69. Before you were born, remember, kids? Here they are, the Red, White, and Blue Electric Outdoor Protestant Blues Band. Jenny. Jenny! Okay! Okay, it's always good to get into some super gold. Super gold! Okay, we'll take about 5 minutes out here for the latest news from around the world from the award-winning Wino Newsroom, and then back with more of the big sounds for you here on the Scott Lame Get-Together for a wonderful Wednesday afternoon. Wino time, ping-pong, 5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock. As soon as we come back, we'll be listening on medical records, Won't You Take My Heart by the donors, and My Body Is Rejecting Your Heart by the recipients. But first, from around the world, across the nation, and up your street, here it is, Wino News, with Wino Newsman Bill Beeper. Saigon! Phnom Penh! Bangkok! That's it from Wino News. Details on the half hour. Okay, kids, and back with more of the big sounds for you here. Wino time, bing bong, 5 minutes past the big hour, 5 o'clock. Right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. More hits, more often. Big number 7 this week. Number 7, number 7, number 7, number 7, number 7, number 7. This is one of the great bands from San Francisco, Brain Damage. And a tune that's really making it for them. In fact, it's number 3, number 3, number 3, number 3, number 3, number 3. That's right, it moved up 4 spots while I was talking about it. Here it is. Okay, one of the big sounds that you heard it right here. On Wonderful Wino, Wonderful Wino. Wino time, ping pong, 5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock. And say, stick around following the show, kids. We'll be featuring some local basketball. Local basketball. Today, Andy Granatelli Vocational plays the mighty purple of Owsley High. One of the big games, too. Okay, let's move back with more of the big sounds. Billy and the Blemishes and One Last Pimple.
I got one last pimple from Grand State with you. Don't know whether to break it or leave it alone. It's the only one I call my own.
Hey, don't forget, kids, if you have a problem like that, yes, if you're the only one in the crowd who doesn't have unsightly blemishes, pick up on Pimple On. Now you can put them anywhere you want. Put them all on one side of your face and look the other way. Put a peace sign on your forehead. Spell out your girlfriend's name on your bag. Hey, coming up during the next hour here on the Scott Lame Show, we'll be listening to the new John Lennon single, which, if you play it backwards at slow speed, it screws up your needle. And don't forget, the Associated Press tells us that 218 people have been killed on the nation's highways. The National Safety Council expects a total of 500. You're not trying, friend. Thank you, guys.
George Carlin from AM/FM. That album would stay inside my head for the next 15 years. And when I got to college and found myself living in the woods of St. John's University, I still had that album in my head as I hooked up with the college radio station there and started feeling what it was like to have a microphone in front of you and nobody telling you what to do. That's what it was like at St. John's. After college in the mid-1980s, I got a job doing the news at the top and bottom of the hour on morning drive radio at KFAI in big time Minneapolis. What cost me the gig was my inability to play it straight. I was supposed to be a legit newsman, but I began to make up some of the stories, and that was the beginning of the Mischke broadcast concept. I found it difficult once the microphone was on to simply deliver what was in front of me. I enjoyed more the idea of creating something and delivering that. And, of course, that's not what you're supposed to do as a straight newsman, and that was a short-lived gig. I was out of radio after about a month. But that's when I stumbled upon Don Vogel. George Carlin was still knocking around in my head when I turned on AM 1500 in the late 1980s and stumbled upon the Don Vogel show. Major influence number two in my radio career. I fell in love with the freedom and with the creative expression of Don Vogel's style of talk radio. And I began to call in as a character who wanted to be just that free and that wild. And that's when the Phantom Caller was born, a name he gave me. There is some real lousy quality Phantom Caller recordings in a dusty old bin in my office. And I grabbed a couple, and I am really nervous about playing them because I don't even know if you're going to be able to hear what's going on these things. This was crude recording back in the 80s. I'm sure there was decent equipment, but I think I was using something from the 60s. Jace, why don't you come in here? Why don't you come in here and see if a couple of these are pretty chipped. See if any of this stuff works. You even have a tape player in there? This is, just throw that on right there. Just like that. And see what happens. Give you an idea if you never heard the Phantom Caller, what that was all about. I don't suppose anybody's played a cassette tape in there in a few years, huh, Jason? Why would they?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know if that thing is even going to work. Let's see what happens.
Talk radio, talk radio. I lend you my ear. From 3 until 6, I smile as I hear the embellishment of our waves with sense and good cheer. Are there times at the wheel when trying to steer that the show brings such laughter, the car starts to veer? But never is there even a twinge of fear, for I'd rather die laughing than be without you, my dear. Talk radio. Happy Monday, everybody. Carl's got a song for you, Don. Listen to a story about a fella named Don, a radio man who liked to have a little fun. He was working on the air in the Windy City when he sends the data with destiny. Fate, that is, something looming on the horizon. Oh, well, the next thing you know, he was ready for a change. You're looking for a format that offered him some range. Thing about his future one day, he said, geez, I think I'd like to work in the Twin Cities. St. Paul, Minneapolis, that is, good folks, lots of snow. Now he's on the air from 3 until 6, talking and laughing just to getting his kick. Say, 1500 where he's sure to be found. Give him a call around on the sound. Don Vogel, that is, the monster, funny man, and fat, too.
And there it is. If you got in the middle of that, of course, that was the Phantom Festival. We took a whole bunch of the Phantom phone calls and just put them all together in one gigantic tree.
I think there might be. Actually, those were better than some other ones in terms of... That probably was the highest quality. I don't know. There's a... Put on another one. We'll find the lousy ones, damn it.
A lot of times grizzly bears will walk up to you, they walk down the street, and all of a sudden a bear will walk up to you. We have Clarence on the line.
Hi, Clarence.
Speaking of grizzly bears, Don, I got a grizzly story for you. It's me up here in the loony bin. Thought I'd let you know what me and a fella's been doing to kill the time these days. Yeah, we answered an ad in the paper that read, "Mean bully seeks fight. You must be short, skinny, and scared of your own shadow. Send photo and qualifications, and if approved, we'll arrange for a meeting in a dark alley where I'll beat the living tar out of you." Well, Don, a whole group of us lunatics sent in an application, and all of us were approved. So for a month now, me and the fellas have been sneaking out of here at night to meet this guy and just have the living daylight come out and out of us. We come home bruised, battered, beat up, but just happy to be having some wholesome fun for a change. After weeks in these padded rooms, it's just nice to get out somewhere where you can dish yourself some bodily harm. You should have seen old Barney last night. It was his first trip with us, and that bully really let him have it. Just crushed his little body to rubble right before our eyes. And we were cheering and passing the bottle around. And Barney was smiling too, laughing and giggling and just getting beat up like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Oh, God. The phantom caller has returned.
Might be one more. Might be one more tape.
White Bear in 429-5393. And wander back to the phones here. 646-8255. Hello, Spencer.
Don, when next we chat, we will be a solid 24 hours into the 1992 baseball season, a season that for all practical purposes will be no different than the one before. But oh, what a different game the sport of baseball would be today if Abner Doubleday had listened to Schwerner Gunther. Schwerner Gunther was Doubleday's aide and best friend, and before meeting a tragic death in a train wreck, he almost had Doubleday talked into some major modifications of the game. That's right, had Gunther got his way, home plate today would not in fact be home plate, Don, but instead a greased fire pole that would send a player underground to meet a series of rotating, alternating ball fields where games were being played simultaneously. The effect could mean that a player hitting a home run would be gone for weeks, playing on numerous ball fields with a host of different clubs. Yes, Schwerner Gunther was a visionary. Had his proposals been adopted, managers today would be relegated to small foxholes on either side of the pitcher's mound. Beneath those foxholes would be an elaborate tunneling system, not unlike those encountered by U.S. troops in Vietnam. In those tunnels, full-scale guerrilla warfare and sabotage could determine the outcome of the game. Schwerner Gunther was a genius, Don. He wanted the baseball itself to be a hydrogen-filled geodesic orb. Instead of gloves, he wanted players to wear elastic pants, stretching them forward and catching the balls in their crotch. He wanted catchers to wear frilly chiffon, for umpires to resemble Civil War amputees. He wanted cows in center field, moose in left, sheep in right. He wanted dancing bears. He wanted drag racing on the warning track. Don, he wanted...
The phantom caller, the exploits of Mr. Gunther.
So those phantom calls in the late 80s occupied my time for a while, and then Vogel left, got a job in Chicago, and that was that. So for 5 years, I went to work trying to figure out what else I was going to do, and decided maybe I'd try freelance writing, and I was making a pretty lousy living at that when... 5 years after he left, Don Vogel reappears one day in March here at KSTP. And the phantom calls continued, but what also happened was I began to hook up with Don socially and started to learn about what it was like for him doing his job, how different it was with this return to KSTP. He had worked with a great crew back in the late 80s, Dave Elvine, Mitch Berg, the great John McDougal, who died while I was working here at KSTP when we were still out in Maplewood. He died of cancer. Legendary radio guy here in the Twin Cities. Also Bruce Gordon, his sports guy. And they used to have a hell of a lot of fun in the late 80s. He comes back in March of 1992, and he's told, "It's your show all by yourself. We'll give you really what amounted to an intern to work the board. And Don would tell me when we go out how hard it was to not be able to play off somebody. And that's how it ended up happening, that I became a sidekick of his, just someone to play off of. And that's what he loved best. That's what he did best. And that was June of 92. He and I split up 17, 18 months later. In a fashion not wildly different than, Martin and Lewis or Simon and Garfunkel, one of those type of breakups. I went on to Morning Drive Radio with Pat Mylan. Pat Mylan lost his job after a couple months, and they hired Jesse Ventura, asked me to be his sidekick. But I decided that I think the experience with Vogel and then with Mylan, I decided that I'd rather work alone. And that's when I got the nighttime gig. Exactly 12 years ago, January 3rd. Well, on January 3rd, I'll be doing 5:30 to 7:30, and this nighttime thing will be over. It actually ends tonight because I go on vacation for a week. Derek Larson, who runs a website at MishkiMadness.com, has agreed to come in for what will be the last night of anything remotely sounding like the Mishki broadcast 1 week from tonight. He's going to come in and sort of do a wrap-up on the whole thing. And then that following Monday, Sean Hannity will be here. That will be quite a change. I'm trying to think if there will be any similarities at all. Nope, none. So, tonight, I thought what we might do is knock around some memories of the last dozen years. Some of you people have been around for all 12 of them. How this particular show came to be, I haven't really completely told yet. When I started in 94, January 94, with this nighttime radio business, I was doing a straight show, serious issues of the day kind of program. And I think that was because of the last 18 months. I think after the whole Vogel thing, I decided I was just going to go in a completely different direction. And for the first 6 months of 94, I did a show you wouldn't recognize. Derek Larson will tell you it was one of the worst shows he ever listened to. And what would happen, because it really wasn't in my nature to do straight shows like that night after night, what would happen is Friday nights would roll around, and to blow off steam, I'd go in a completely different direction. We'd call it Misfit Fridays. And it was so much more fun to do Misfit Fridays than it was to do the Monday through Thursday show that became the broadcast. And after 6 months, there was no looking back. And that's what the show became. Misfit Fridays just became Misfit Monday through Fridays. And boy, there have been some misfits over the years joining me on this program. I'm sure you have many memories of many misfit callers. Some people will argue there's an extraordinary number of misfits out there to call in nighttime radio, and that isn't the case, 5:30 to 7:30. That may be true. I know they drink less earlier in the evening. They drink less in the late afternoon. But it hasn't just been drunks constituting the misfits. We've had pretty much a little bit of everything. And I've generally found over the years that the misfits are more entertaining than the average person you'd stumble upon in an elevator. The average person you talk to in an elevator or at a cafe counter mentions the weather and says some ordinary things that, while pleasant enough, certainly aren't entertaining. But the unusual and the eccentric, the odd, They say things you don't see coming. They react in ways you couldn't predict. And therein lies the entertainment. I've always felt during the day here at KSTP that 7 out of 10 callers do not enhance the program. In fact, they detract from it. 3 out of 10 make it a better show than it was before they called. And it's unlikely that an average person calling a radio station is going to improve the show because, well, there's no other way to say it. They're not professional entertainers. They're just average people. And they have no stake in the game. They're just calling up. They're in their car or at work or at home. And they're not calling with the idea of making it a great show. They're just calling. So what I had hoped to do once the show got into the whole misfit kind of thing, I had hoped that either the callers would be different enough to enhance the program or I'd get different enough with them. But we definitely would not do a show where people called up and said, what are we going to do about that Bill Clinton character? So we never did that kind of a show. And I won't be doing that kind of show come January 2nd. I still can't do that kind of a show. Don't know what kind of a show it's going to be, but it won't be that. Anyway, the number here, 646-8255, a number I didn't give out very often over the years. 646-8255 in St. Paul, outside the capital city, 877-615-1500. I have one fond memory from the last dozen years that I want to play for you tonight. I'll play it. I laugh thinking about it. I'll play it a little later. But I don't want to monopolize the program. I wanted to let you know where I've come from and where I am right now. And the reason things are going to change is because the station has decided Sean Hannity no longer belongs 6 to 8. And he's under contract here. So he has to be somewhere, and they've decided they'll throw him in the least attractive slot here at the station, mine. So, because they decided to move him here, I was homeless and looking for a place to land, and there weren't that many options here at KSTP. Other people had time slots locked up, and, well, I ended up kind of trading with Sean. I don't know how he feels about that, but Souchere, instead of ending at 5, or instead of ending at 6, actually, we'll go back to 5:30. I'll start there and be out of here at 7:30. And Sean Hannity, that madman with his own misfit program, will be here entertaining you all, if there's any of you still left listening, once he starts. I don't mind telling you, he doesn't have the highest rated show here at the talk station. He's been hemorrhaging listeners for a while, and when I listen to his show, I understand why. But I think you'll enjoy him. Anyway, when we come back, I'll take your calls, and we'll take a ride down the old memory lane and see what stands out when you think of the last dozen years on this show. And I'll play you what I remember so well.